This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into the show. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now from CSURams.com, my great friend Mike Brohard. Mike, my man, let's see if you did your homework. Is Isaiah Stevens, what do you think, man? I mean, I haven't asked you in a while. You think he's coming back? I'm not so sure. What do you think?
I wish Isaiah peace when it comes time to make that decision for himself.
Let me ask you, is that written down on your note card, or did you actually remember that response?
I actually remembered it because I'm in Houston. I forgot my note card at the office.
That's impressive. I'm pretty sure that's word for word. I'm pretty sure. So you were staying consistent with that.
Yeah, I mean, I should. Yeah, I'm staying consistent with it because it is his decision.
Yes, it is. Well, we'll see how you do next week, Mike, on next week's game show. But serious stuff. It was nice to see Colorado State just really take it to Air Force. You know what, like 2 years ago, it seems like, they've been off with another bye week situation. But that was good for the Rams to have the win, and then just to get some time to get healthier, just take a little, maybe a mental break too. Not that they did from practice, but just from games. And now we'll see them get back at it tomorrow night against Boise State.
Yeah, they get a chance to actually, they got a long stretch to actually enjoy what they did and how they did it. And that, I think, is helpful. Like when you talk about a mental break, they're not getting away from something. They're kind of reliving something good and trying to expand on it. So it's much better than if you have a mental break coming off a loss. That's for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll see what they can do going forward. Never an easy battle against those Broncos. But, you know, with some time off. And I like that, what you said. Hey, this gave us a lot of time to really digest what all we did right. Because that was one of those games where, you know, they win 69-53. You're doing a lot right in that game. I was really impressed, though. I know Isaiah Stevens is going to put up nice numbers every night. But I was really happy to see John Tonje come away with 21 points in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really was an impressive game all the way around. And for John to come through in the way he did, make big baskets, really kind of helped him get out to that big advantage, shoot well. They played well defensively as a team, which you need to do against Air Force. All that stuff is cake. It's not the cake. It's the icing, right?
Yeah.
That's what everybody likes is icing.
It's icing. It's the sweets on top, which is what they all enjoyed, with sweets at a gas station after that game. I love that. I think that's a great tradition, although we all judge them by what they're ordering or what they're buying at that gas station.
Well, I also like the fact that some of them have a sense of humor. Like I saw somebody holding up a quart of Pennzoil.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
I think that's such a fun thing. And again, it's still a game. You're trying to have fun with it. You know, those kind of things are great for building, you know, up the team chemistry, regardless of where you are in the season. And being able to win a game like that, who knows, man? That could catapult you into a nice end to the regular season and into the Mountain West Conference tournament.
That's always the hope, isn't it? I mean, you grasp onto what's good, and you hope to carry it forward and see what it can do for it.
Yeah, Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. All right, looking at this women's basketball team, Mike, they continue to do great things. I mean, it's been a very fun season for them all year round. They get the win over Fresno State. They're back on the right track. They had a little bit of a hiccup there, you know, with UNLV, New Mexico, and Air Force, but taking care of Utah State, Wyoming in a close game, then San Jose State, close game, Fresno State. You're starting to see this team just get right back into form. It didn't last long with them as far as a bump in the road.
No, and what's impressive to me about this run is really if you look at these three wins, you got two and a half of them without Destiny Thurman in the lineup. You know, she went down, she got hurt in the Wyoming game, and they went on the road and won two games without a starting guard who – as valuable as she is to them offensively, she means maybe even more defensively, and especially to get those wins the way that they did. Now, they're going to have to go through, and they still got to play a really tough San Diego State team, which means a lot for seeding for the conference tournament. But, you know, to go out on the road and get those two wins without a key starter in the lineup, that's also a huge confidence boost. It's it's a down-the-line confidence boost. And then you see like a Hannah Ronsek, a true freshman, come in, and she gets her first start, and she drills 4 3-pointers. She hadn't been shooting well. That helps her.
Yeah, well, and put them in a great spot here. What are they, tied for second right now, Mike? Is that right? Right behind, well, UNLV is obviously undefeated in the conference, and then I think they're right there in the mix.
Yeah, and if you look at it, they've got the tiebreaker right now over San Diego State because they beat them at home earlier this year. San Diego State has three really good guards that make it a very interesting game because obviously Colorado State has three really good guards when Thurman's healthy. So it'll be curious to see if she's back in time for that game. It's another road test. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, I just really hope it works out where we can see UNLV's obviously looks like. Yeah, I think they've got the first seed, don't they? I mean, is it mathematically out of the question now for CSU to grab that? What do they have? 4 games left?
Yeah. And because UNLV won twice,
sure,
they would own the tiebreaker even if they finished tied. So there's the fun thing is though, both times, you know, they played UNLV really tight. Those were both very close games. Now, the tricky part will be you go to Las Vegas, you hope to see them in the championship game, and you're playing them on their home floor. And not only that, but like the coach is from Vegas and two of their key players are from Vegas. So it's more than just your typical home court advantage for the Rebels there. Colorado State is going to be, you know, just chomping at the bit to get back and get one more crack at the Rebels.
Yeah, I just hope it works out that way so we can see them in the Mountain West Conference championship game. That would be something special. Mike, what are you working on at CSURams.com? Where are you today? I know you're in a hotel somewhere. Is that right?
I'm in a hotel in Houston.
Okay.
Down here for the Mountain West Conference championships for swimming and diving.
Nice.
So, yep, they had their first practice session this morning. We'll do another one later this afternoon. So I did a piece today on true freshman Lexi Tritely, who hasn't lost the collegiate 100 yet. But she goes in knowing that she hasn't seen everybody in the conference, but very focused on just what she can do and see what it means at the end, you know, whether or not she can win it. She's an interesting kid. She has no fear as a freshman. She's very competitive, got a little swag to her. So it'll be fun to see. She's a very good sprinter. She'll be really competitive in the 50 and the 100. And it should be an interesting meet for Colorado State.
Yeah. Well, exciting stuff continuing to happen for all things Colorado State up and down the board throughout all sports. Mike, what'd you think about our old friend Mike Bobo getting back with Georgia, where it all began, at least from his time to transitioning to CSU? He's right back to with the Bulldogs.
That's where he's been, though. So, I mean, he was an analyst there for him. So it's a great fit. That's where he wants to. That's where Drew's playing. His son is on the roster as an offensive lineman. So I don't think he was ever going to leave. There were rumors that he was going to Mississippi State to join that staff. And I'd reached out to him. He said, no, not going. He's not uprooting his family. Because he's got 5 kids. Drew's on the roster at Georgia. So, I mean, it fits perfect. I mean, he and Kirby were college roommates. So they're really good friends. That's just a good fit for him.
So what,
I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, he was with Auburn, and then he was with – what was he with Georgia last year? I forgot about that. What was he doing with Georgia last year?
He was an offensive analyst.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he was sitting behind the scenes doing what Mike really loves to do, and that's sit in the film room, digest what a defense is doing and try and come up with the best way to attack it. So he was helping the offensive coordinator do everything he could, find different things. That's Mike's. People forget, even when CSU was not playing really well at the end of his tenure, they were still pretty good for 30 points a game. He's got a really good offensive mind.
Yeah, I always liked Mike Bobo and a lot of respect for him, as you said, as an offensive guy. So I'm really happy for him, too. He was always a lot of fun to interview on the program, follow his teams. Unfortunate with the way things ended with him, but I'm glad he's back on his feet with as the OC with Georgia, too. So that'll be fun to see. Good for him.
Yeah, it's good for him. And like I said, he gets to stay home. You know, where he played, where he's from, he didn't have to uproot his family because we all know, being a college football coach is kind of a nomadic existence. That's like what always amazed me about Marty English. He's basically being able to coach his entire career in the triangle between UNC, Wyoming, and CSU, and never really had to leave far and uproot his family.
Yeah, that is interesting when it works out like that for some of these guys, where they can just stay within a 45-mile radius or something like that. That's rare for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, appreciate you as always, man, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, Mike Bobo, former Colorado State coach. So he was with, obviously, he was quarterback for Georgia, and then he was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach from 2007 to 2014. Colorado State hired him after McElwain left to go to Florida. He comes in, and he was, you know what, he was pretty good for a moment. You know, as a head coach, he was 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, and then he went 3-9, 4-8, had some health stuff come up in the 18 season that I think kind of bled over into the 19 season. Then he went to South Carolina as the offensive coordinator for two seasons. He actually took over as the interim head coach at the end of that. And then he went to be with, what's his name? What, Harsin, the Boise State?
Brian Harsin.
Yeah, not Brian Cranston, right? It wasn't Brian Cranston. He went to be with him at Auburn. That obviously did not work out. He was the offensive coordinator there for a second. And then, as Mike brought up, I forgot that he went with Georgia as an offensive analyst. I don't follow the offensive analyst jobs as much as I should, I guess. But Bobo now officially back as the offensive coordinator. Good for him. Liked Bobo a lot. He was a lot of fun to interview. Great dude. I thought he really bought into this community, to the Northern Colorado, to the Fort Collins community really well. Just the last two seasons were pretty rough. Although I think Rams fans are begging for 7-6. We'd be great to see 7-6 again. That'd be fantastic. 34 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.